It's probably the most quoted verse by non-Christians. People who've not even picked up a Bible know this verse above and beyond all the rest of them. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Usually they don't say it that way, though. They kind of give it an old English flair, kind of a King James type feel to it. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And you got to say it with attitude. You can't just say it the right way. Judge not, lest ye be judged, brother. In other words, what they're saying is, don't tell me how to live, and I'm not going to tell you how to live. You've got no right to tell me what's right and what's wrong. You've got no right to speak into my life. It's live and let live, brother. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Just let the church stand for anything. Let it come out publicly for any kind of moral value, right? And they're going to pull this one out, and they're going to club you over the head with it, kind of like a gotcha. I'll get you with Jesus' own words. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You can't tell me what's right and what's wrong. Try that the next time the cop pulls you over. In fact, you know, Pastor Mark, you confessed a couple weeks ago that you maybe occasionally speed. I got an idea for you. If you get pulled over, you just say to the officer, remind him that you're a pastor, hey, listen, judge not, lest ye be judged, officer. My guess is ye be getting a ticket. And yet that's prevalent in our society. The idea is that we're not supposed to tell anyone else how to live. It's their business if they want to fool around on the side. Don't stand in judgment of me. It's their business, the kind of lifestyle that they want to live. Don't stand in judgment of me, because after all, Jesus said it. You believe everything Jesus says, don't you? Well, Jesus says, don't judge. Is that really what Jesus meant? Did Jesus mean that we could never discern what's right and what's wrong? That we can't stand up for what's clearly taught in His Word? Is that really what Jesus said? Well, like anything in the Bible, if you're going to understand it, the two principles that you have to follow is you have to look at the context. In other words, you can't just pull a couple words out and build your whole theology around those couple words. And then you have to look at all of Scripture. What does the Bible say about judging? So first, let's look at the context. Let's look at the context of Jesus saying these words. It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. That's the one we're looking at. And it's also in the other Gospels too. But in the Gospel of Matthew, take a look at that. Now we know that Matthew was a disciple of Jesus. We know that he was a tax collector, which means he probably wasn't a real popular guy, right? We also know that Matthew's gospel is probably the first gospel that was written. If not, it was the second one. So it's very early on that this account of Jesus' life is put forth for people to read. We also know that Matthew is speaking to a Jewish audience. So he's speaking to a group of people and writing to a group of people that would know what we call the Old Testament. It would be their Bible. So he quotes a lot of prophecies. And also they would have a very good knowledge of the religious structure of their day. Familiar with Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law. They will have had lots of interactions with them. All right, let's drill down a little bit further. Now, the context in which Jesus speaks these very words is actually in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a significant teaching of Jesus, and certainly it's prominent in the Gospel of Matthew. It goes on for several chapters, starting in chapter 5, and really doesn't wrap up to the end of chapter 7. Now, in that, Jesus has some radical thoughts for his day, right? He tells the people, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacekeeper, blessed are those who mourn. What does he mean by all of that? Then he goes on to say, you know what? You should pray for your enemies. Pray for my enemies, right? And then he goes beyond the letter of the law, and he goes a little bit deeper into that. So let's just take one look. Chapter 5, verse 22. So he says, you've heard it say long ago, you shall not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to, will be subject to judgment. I thought Jesus says we couldn't judge. And he's saying, you go beyond just judging whether somebody takes the life of somebody else. But what's the thought in their head, and what's the feeling in their heart, and what's going on with their attitude? But I tell you that if you're angry with your brother or sister, you'll be subject to judgment. That's a pretty harsh teaching of Jesus. Now let's go a little bit closer. So now let's go to chapter 6. So in chapter 6, so just preceding when Jesus says those infamous words, don't judge, there's a theme through chapter 6. And the theme is Jesus is speaking out against hypocrites. And specifically, he's talking about the Pharisees and their sort of hypocritical attitude. So let's take a look at two verses. First of all, verse 5 in chapter 6. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corner to be seen by others. And then let's take a look at verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. All right, let's pull the same ones out of context. Does Jesus say, don't pray? Did Jesus say, don't fast? He said, don't pray like the hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and does the exact opposite. The one who tells you how to live, and yet they're living opposite of that. And here in the context, the hypocrite is the one who wants to seem so self-righteous and pious. He said, don't pray like the hypocrites do. They stand in church, looking up at heaven, drawing attention to themselves. Or they're on the street corner, looking pious so that everyone can notice how religious they are. He says, no. It's not about praying for them. It's about drawing attention to them. For people to look up to them. Look how spiritual they are. He says about fasting. He said, don't go around looking like a wreck so that everybody knows that you're fasting. So as you pass by, they whisper, oh, look how dedicated he is to the Lord. He's fasting again this week. No. He says, don't pray hypocritically. Don't fast hypocritically. And now we come to chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the same measure it will be used to you. Fast forward down to verse 5. You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck of dust out of your brother's eye. So two things here. First of all, he doesn't say that you shouldn't take the dust out of your brother's eye, but he says, first of all, you got to realize you got a 2x4 sticking out of your own head. Jesus is not saying don't judge, just like he's not saying don't pray or don't fast. Don't judge hypocritically. To further make my point, let's go on a little bit further in chapter 7. And if we go down to verse 15, he says, watch out for the false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. Now, you tell me, how do you distinguish who is a false prophet and a true prophet? Don't you have to make a judgment call? Do you not have to discern if what they're saying is right or wrong? Clearly, if you look at the context of Jesus' words, he is not saying that we can never discern what's right and wrong, that we're never to make a judgment call. Clearly, Jesus is not saying, live and let live, because I can't tell you how to live your life, and you can't tell me how to live my life. The context says, Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't fast like the hypocrites, and don't judge like the hypocrites. So if Jesus isn't talking against judging, then what does the Scripture say about judging? What do they say, what do they teach us about how to judge? Well, I'm going to come at it from the negative. There are three ways that we are not to judge others. I think the best way to come at it is there's three ways that Scripture is clear. This is how not to judge. And the first way that we're not to judge is we're not to judge superficially. We're not supposed to judge superficially and just jump to conclusions. Great example of that in the Gospel of John. Take a look at John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." So he doesn't say don't judge. He says, but judge correctly. So stop judging by appearances. What's interesting here is that Jesus has just been judged by the crowd. If you skip just a couple verses up, the crowd has says he must be demon-possessed. They've come to this conclusion, and they have judged and discerned that Jesus is demon-possessed because another couple verses up, they can't understand how can Jesus teach with such authority and knowledge, and he's not had any formal training. So they conclude, if he's had no formal training, and yet he teaches with all this knowledge, then he must be demon-possessed. There's no other conclusion that can be drawn from that. Jesus says, stop it. You know nothing about me. You know nothing about my teaching. And you have simply jumped to a conclusion just by the short time that you've heard me speak and the few things that you have seen me do. Do not judge superficially. Don't judge by just what you see. We have all been there. We have all done it. As we stand talking to our friends and we go, would you just look at the way she's dressed? And at her age, it's shameful, shameful. Look at that guy walk in all full of himself. He thinks he's all that and a little bit more. Did you see what they just drove up in? They got to be rolling in cash. And I bet you they don't give a dime to the church either. Don't judge superficially. We have no idea what's going on in somebody else's life. We don't know what their circumstances are. Just like Jesus was unfairly judged by appearances, he teaches us very clearly. It's not that we don't stand up for what's right and what's wrong, but we don't judge by mere appearances. Do not judge superficially. The second thing that Jesus teaches is this: don't judge hypocritically. So we're going to circle back around to Matthew chapter 7. He says, don't judge like the hypocrites do. And he has this incredible illustration that I think is a little bit lost on us because we've probably heard it a number of times. So if you will, put yourself in the place of Jesus' original audience as he speaks to them, right? Don't judge or you too will be judged. And then he says, why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time you've got a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites, take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. I think this garnered a chuckle when Jesus, think of the ridiculous scene that he just pictured. It sounds to me like a Three Stooges routine. Honest. Curly's got this 2x4 sticking out of his head, and he says, hey, Mo, let me help you get that dust out of your eye, right? And he swings his head, and everybody ducks to make sure they don't get taken out. It's a ridiculous scene. And Jesus uses that hyperbole for a point. You can't stand in self-righteous indignation to correct somebody else, to put them in their place, when you don't recognize your own sinfulness, when you don't acknowledge you're on the same playing field with them. Paul gets at this same thing in Romans. Romans chapter 2. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. If we don't recognize that we're sinners just like they're sinners. We've missed the whole point completely. And yet the fact of the matter is, we're really good at accusing others and excusing ourselves. We're really good at pointing out the sin of everybody else. Can you believe how he's living? Oh, I can't believe what their son or daughter's doing. We're great at seeing sin in everybody else and accusing them, but excusing ourselves. Because, well, you don't know the circumstances. I didn't really have a choice. It was just a weak moment on my part. Don't judge hypocritically. If you're standing in self-righteous indignation, wanting to put somebody else in their place, don't judge. Don't judge. There's a great turning point in chapter 2 of Romans as Paul speaks to them. So he comes out with this harsh word. Don't judge others because you're just as guilty as they are. Right? Now, we already know from Scripture, he's not saying that we can't stand up for what's right and what's wrong. What is he getting at? Right? If we go down to verse 4, but actually, I really like it more in the New Living Translation. I think it captures it better. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Paul says, you're under God's grace. And look how patient he's been with you. And look how kind he's been with you, gently correcting you to bring you to repentance and save you from your sin. And you're going to take on this haughty attitude that you're better than somebody else and stand in judgment of them? Don't judge hypocritically. The final one, and this is really where we get at it. Don't judge with the wrong motives, and I'll add attitude. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't stand in judgment, that we don't stand for what's right or wrong, but how we do it, the attitude and the motive that we have, that's what's important. We're going to take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently, humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation. Now, St. Paul didn't say, if you see someone in sin, live and let live, brother. If you see somebody going down the wrong path, you've got no reason to speak into their life. He didn't say that. He says, you see a brother that's caught in sin, you're there to help them and to correct them. But the attitude is one of humbleness. In humility, we come to another person and say, listen, I'm in the same boat with you, but I see your life going in the wrong direction. And God clearly has taught about this. And with gentleness and kindness, and with the right motive to put them back on the right path. Just as God has been kind and gracious with us to put us back on the right path, not put us in our place. That's how we, if you will, stand in judgment of someone else. Because Scripture is clear. There's judgment all over the place. We're called upon to stand up for what's right. We're called upon to speak out the word of God clearly so that people understand this is how our God created us and wants us to live. And yes, at times that means that we make a judgment call that this is right and that's wrong. But we don't do so superficially just by what we see on the outside. We don't do hypocritically as if somehow we're better and we're going to put you in your place. But with deep humility, understanding our own sinfulness, and with gentleness and kindness, with a true desire to put them back on the right path, just as God has put us back on the right path. Indeed, sometimes we do stand and judge. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, if we fell under your judgment for how we live and all that we have done, we would be condemned. But thanks be to you that you gave to us your Son, and thanks be to Jesus that he willingly came, that he lived for us, that he died for us. And so now, instead of seeing our sin, you see his righteousness, and we are not condemned. With that same grace, with that same kind of humility, may we also help our brothers and sisters get on the right path if they're going the wrong way. In Jesus' name, amen.